one.
But this is something that we've already known before, whether it's, you know, they're holding it up to 6 months, a year, 2 years. This is what companies do. What's interesting to find out is that
they productized it. You can rent this from AT&T and get training for your police for a cash allocation.
And this is what's happening. And I brought it up last week when we were talking about, did you hear? And Google, Facebook, and Twitter were all being accessed by police from this small tech company in Chicago.
Yeah.
And finding out information on locations for people for protests. So you really don't think that police are using this in investigations? Of course they are.
Well, Florida
They're calling up AT&T and saying, yeah, we need this information. Absolutely. We'll happily give it to you.
But there's also a deal that they signed with AT&T that says they will not reveal the existence of Hemisphere or use data collected from Hemisphere as part of a prosecution unless no other evidence is available. Mm-hmm. And this gets into a theory in the law known as parallel construction, where you use Hemisphere to go find out who the bad guy is. And then once you know who the bad guy is, you go find the evidence after the fact. This is evidence you never would have had in the first place. You never would have had this suspect in the first place. You never would have had this tracking in the first place. This is a big problem because this is a private company basically making warrantless search of people's movement and behavior available to law enforcement for a fee.
Again,
that the surveilled, are paying without our knowledge.
Mm-hmm. What do you say the worst thing is for a government to have lists of things? What can either a text message, what can a telephone call in the future do to you for a location, evidence? Scary.
Whether you have something to hide or not, because that's the argument everybody gives, I have nothing to hide. Whether you have something to hide or not, history tells us that you must beware of people, particularly governments, who make lists.
No why. There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Trigger warning. Trigger warning. Trigger warning.
Don't do it.
I'm about to say something very scary regarding the weather. If you don't want to hear it, please turn off your radio now. Trigger warning over. Snow, ladies and gentlemen, is in the forecast for tomorrow. On our way there, we're going to see temperatures drop below freezing in most places tonight. You might stay above freezing downtown Boston, but everybody else going below freezing and down into the upper 20s in a lot of places. Bring those sensitive plants indoors. Tomorrow, rain rolls in the afternoon. Interior sections, those cold valleys, those chilly mountaintops, you're getting some snow. No major accumulation is expected, but you could see a dusting in some places. Before it all turns over to rain later in the afternoon, high tomorrow in the mid-40s, low in the mid-40s tomorrow night. Friday, the rain ends early in the day. Temperatures rise into the lower 50s. Lows Friday night in the mid-40s. Saturday, afternoon showers, about a 30% chance of those, depending on where you are. High in the mid-50s, low in the low 50s on Saturday night. Sunday, sunny, partly cloudy, maybe a little bit of rain here and there. High in the mid-50s, low in the mid-40s Sunday night as the cooling returns. And then Monday, kids are wondering about this one, Halloween, partly cloudy. Temperature in the low 50s for a high, lows in the low 40s on Monday night. So either get the kids inside early or bundle up when you go out to do that trick-or-treating. But there should not be any rain or anything else to interfere with your Halloween trick-or-treating. It is WMFO Medford. It is The Big Picture on the Tell Mikey D coming your way at 9 o'clock tonight. When we come back, did you hear all the other stories that caught our attention this week? And we'll be counting down our favorite horror movies just in time for Halloween here on WMFO Medford.
Hello, my name is Riff Raff. I'm one of the stars of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. If you're into science fiction, music, horror, comedy, or, dare we say it, sex, the Rocky Horror Picture Show is the movie for you. See you at the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent.
When was the last time you were scared out of your wits by a movie? Halloween, the motion picture about the most terrifying night of the year. Halloween, the night three teenage girls discover the real trick is to stay alive.
Tommy, it's me!
Halloween, the night he came home. From Compass International Pictures, rated R.
I'm going to the hardware store.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary here with you every Wednesday night. And as always, we want you to be a part of the show. And especially later on, you can tell us about your scary movies because we are taking a break from all of that political nonsense. But you can give us a call at 855-915-9636. Again, that's 855-915-WMFO. And it's time for Did You Hear That? Part of the show where Derek and I quiz each other by giving each other, you know, one or two words, maybe a name, and we have to tell what the story is about from this week's news. And as always, I will start. Ashes.
Would this be the Vatican?
It is.
The Vatican came out this week and said cremation is okay. You go ahead and cremate your loved one, but...
But, big but.
The only thing that you can do after cremation is bury those ashes all together in hallowed ground.
Yes, you cannot, sacred place.
You can't put them on a mantelpiece. You can't spread them on the Ganges. You can't turn them into jewelry.
Can't put them in the ocean.
You can't turn them into a diamond.
And if you have five kids, not every kid can have a piece of them.
Yep, so you got to bury them all in one place. I applaud the Catholic Church for saving room in our cemetery, I guess. I don't know. I think that's one of the advantages of being a Catholic is you don't have to worry about cremation. Dreamworld.
Dreamworld.
Yes.
That is a production company.
Yes, but that's not what we're looking for.
Mm.
This was everywhere yesterday. It was the heartbreaking story of the day yesterday.
Dreamworld.
With a miracle ending on it, yeah. Australia.
Nope.
No?
Mm-mm, no.
That's the amusement park where four people got pulled into a conveyor belt.
Yeah.
On Thunder River Rapids. Okay. Mm-hmm. Two rafts at
of
the end of the ride.
Of course you had to say that, you know, a couple days before I'm going on every ride.
Two rafts on the ride collided with each other, and four people apparently got thrown out. Two of them were pulled completely into the conveyor belt, and the other two were pulled partly into the conveyor belt. And the first responders had a bit of a mess on their hands. Two children apparently were thrown free and clear of the whole thing and survived. So if there's a silver lining, that's it. But yeah, yikes.
Subway.
The Boston Orange Line kind or the sandwich making kind?
The sandwich.
Jared Fogle's wife, I forget her name. She's a school teacher.
Yeah, I don't have her name.
Is suing Subway Corporation, saying that they knew her husband was a pedophile years before, even before she got married to him, and should have told her to prevent... I guess the embarrassment and humiliation and all the rest of this, and her having children with this man. In her case, she cites a conversation that took place between a franchisee and a member of the Subway marketing staff who said, oh, he's found someone, a teacher, she'll settle him down. After the franchisee mentioned that Jared told her he likes him young.
Yeah, real young.
Yeah.
Apparently.
We're not talking Donald Trump models partying in the hotel young. We're talking elementary school age young.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why he married a teacher.
Yeah. George Washington Bridge. This was today.
Well, it's in New York.
Yep.
I miss that one.
10 protesters handcuffed themselves together and shut down the inbound lanes to New York City at 8 a.m. this morning.
Is that Black Lives Matter?
No, this group calls themselves We Are Visible, and they want voting rights for illegal aliens. Drivers had this to say, according to CBS New York, quote, get the hell out of here. You want to go protest? Protest on your own time.
Oh, I remember reading an article about illegal aliens going door to door to people's homes in New York and telling them who to vote for.
And this other choice, quote, get the F out of the road. Are you effing kidding me?
Yeah.
That's some of what New York drivers had to say about the protest this morning.
Poland.
Poland. Their country.
Mm-hmm.
They have Polish people.
Yes.
They are independent of the Soviet Union. I heard something somewhere, but I don't remember what it is.
Well, yesterday there were a new round of protests, and they're starting to become violent. So in Warsaw, over the country's stance on abortion.
That's right. Yeah.
Abortion, it's already illegal in Poland, except for cases that include if it's harming the mother or in rape cases. But what they're trying to do, it's a new proposal that would make abortion illegal, even if the fetus has no chance of surviving or if it's deformed. So again, this comes after the government rejected a total ban of abortion. A lot of people up in arms, not happy.
Deeply Catholic nation.
Yes.
Which has something to do with that. Did you hear what the women in Iceland did today?
No.
They all walked off the job at 2:38 in the afternoon. All of them, because it's Iceland, and everybody does stuff in Iceland. Because they make 18% on average of what men make. So the prevailing theory is that if you start work at 9 o'clock, everything after 2:38 in the afternoon is free. So they all got up and left at 2:38 and went and protested in the streets.
That's awesome.
Good for them. One more. North Korea.
North Korea announced its destabilization of nuclear... It's about nuclear weapons.
Yes.
Something about destabilization.
Well, yes, that plays into it, but...
Enlighten me.
But
that's like a half a point.
We'll give you half a point for that one. U.S. Intelligence Director James Clapper yesterday said that a nuclear North Korea is a fact of life. He specifically said trying to get them to abandon their nuclear weapons program is, quote, probably a lost cause, end quote, and that the best we can hope for now is to put a cap on the number of nuclear weapons in North Korea.
Speaking of those weapons.
That's what we've got. So that's, more nuclear weapons.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even get to the clown ban. It was a clown ban.
I thought you were going to bring up Justin Timberlake and how he took a picture.
That's illegal. Mm-hmm, taking a selfie at the polling place is illegal. Secretary of State James Galvin would like to remind you of that fact. Do not take selfies at the polling place or with your ballot. You're violating election laws. But no, this Kemper County, Mississippi has issued a ban on clowns until the day after Halloween. Cops catch you walking around in clown face, $150 fine. A lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Clowns are unhappy. Clown lives matter. It is WMFO Medford. When we come back, we're going to be counting down our favorite horror movies. Don't forget On the Town with Mikey D coming up tonight at 9 o'clock. We will be back right after this.
Michael Rennie was ill the day the earth stood still, but he told us where we stand and Flash Gordon was there in silver underwear. Claude Rains was the invisible man. Then something went wrong for Fay Wray and King Kong. They got caught in a celluloid jam. Then at a deadly pace, it came from outer space. And this is how the message ran.
This is an open letter to Richard Nixon. Dear Richard, do go and see the Rocky Horror Picture Show. All those unfortunate incidents will seem trivial after you've seen the Rocky Horror Picture Show. President Ford, he'd love to see it, but he doesn't have the same amount of freedom you do.
See the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Rated R. Under 17. Not admitted without parents.
Halloween, the motion picture about the most terrifying night of the year, starring Donald Pleasance.
I spent 8 years trying to reach him, and then another 7 trying to keep him locked up because I realized that what was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
Halloween, The night he came home. Rated R.
Ranger Station.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting in the forest.
Uh-huh.
One second I'm having a smoke. Next thing I know, I'm face-to-face with Smokey Bear.
Wow.
And he told me it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
Did you know 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans?
I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous and you're not. Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag. LawrenceBear.com.
You.
Death has come to your little town.
WMFO in Medford. He's Derek Aaron. I'm Lisa Nichols, and this is The Big Picture. And if that music didn't scare you enough, it's time for a few days before Halloween. Of course, we need to get you ready for the holiday. And we like to not only, you know, talk about candy and costumes, but most importantly, scary movies.
Every year, Chris Earle, host of Time Travel here on WMFO from 5 to 7 o'clock, has a Halloween party where he just shows horror movies all day long. Mm-hmm. And I'll be going up there on Saturday to get my annual fix of horror movies. My personal policy, I only watch horror movies during the month of October.
Yeah, this is the first year that I know probably 10 people that are having parties got invites, and this is the only year that I'm going to be gone.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, I'll be in the magical bubble that is Disney.
They get go take a ride on the Haunted Mansion down there, mm-hmm. and you get the same effect. That's scary. That's got ghosts.
Who knows? I might dress up.
Yeah, so it's got ghosts.
I like Halloween.
So, if you're going to be, answering the door trick-or-treating for trick-or-treaters on Monday, or if you got some time this weekend because the football is terrible, maybe you want to pop in a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
You like horror movies, don't you?
I do. It's sad how much I enjoy them for being such a wimp while watching them. But I do. I like them. I get freaked out a little bit, but yeah, you know. I'm not somebody that has bad dreams over them. Or,
yeah.
You know, I might have to keep the TV on for a little light, but we're good.
Yeah, I've always loved horror movies since I saw Jaws in the theater when I was 8.
I used to watch them so much as a kid.
Yeah.
Or try to sneak them, or, you know, if any of them were playing on. I remember USA used to play them all the time, especially during the holidays, or my mom would question what I was watching.
Yeah.
But I used to be so intrigued by them. I loved the horror.
And for me, the bloodier the better. So, mm-hmm. you know, I never had a problem with any of that. And it's Walking Dead the other night, different story, but you know. So we don't know what's on each other's list.
Mm-hmm.
We've chosen our 5 favorite.
Which I have
movies.
To say was so incredibly hard because I have a lot of favorite scary movies. So I tried my best to get a top 5.
Yeah, I'm gonna say if you're only going to watch one horror movie this Halloween, watch one of the ones on my list. We'll see what's on your list. That may mm-hmm. be the case, too. So what do you got? We'll start you out on number 5.
All right, number 5, The Ring. So, of course, it's a journalist in the movie that's played by Naomi Watts. And she has to investigate this mysterious video that's supposed to, after watching it, you have 7 days to live. And she sees her son seeing it. It's a lot of images that I think is the most creepiest thing about it. More importantly, and I hate...
You didn't go to film school, because one of the things about that movie...
I hate children, scary children, and it was just the girl coming out of the TV freaked me out.
One of the things about that movie is it all revolves around this tape that people are watching, which is all of these freaky images that actually do have a story to tell, as you mm-hmm. find out over the course of the movie. But the first time you see it, if you went to film school, you're like, oh, that's exactly like every bad experimental movie I saw when I was in college. This is like some freaky kid like trying to get his angst out on film. And those movies were bad. And, you know, some of them were really creepy. And I think that may have ultimately been the influence for this whole thing, is the guy that made the film. The original Japanese version is called Ringu.
Yes.
And is a classic.
Mm-hmm.
I recommend the Japanese version over the...
I've heard that. I've never seen that.
Over the U.S. version.
And I've never seen it in its entirety.
Yeah. It's pretty much a shot-for-shot remake. But either one of them is good.
I heard the original is much more scarier than the remake.
Yeah, there's something about foreign...
Well, the same thing with The Grudge, and how a lot of people say you need to see the original. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, there's something about the foreign language, and my number five on my list is a foreign language film as well, and it's Dot Rec, which is a Spanish film that came out in 2007, was remade as shot for shot as an American film called Quarantine. They both have the same story. It is a journalist embedded with a fire crew, gets called to this apartment building in the middle of the night, and no sooner do they walk inside than the entire building is sealed off by the military because there is some sort of a virus inside that is turning people into killers. Mm. And it's all found footage. It's all shot on videotape. It is the only found footage movie I think that you need. It is far more effective than Blair Witch. It is far more effective than Cloverfield. It is more effective than anything else that I've seen. It is the masterpiece of the genre. I highly recommend seeing the original Spanish version because for whatever reason, maybe because the...
Is it subtitled?
It is subtitled. Maybe because the pacing was a little bit off, maybe because the actors are different or they were tired from making the movie a second time. It's got better tension and better buildup mm-hmm. than the American version does.
I think, you know, especially with scary movies, having them self-filmed, I think it gives it just that little bit extra that... You're almost dealing with what the character is dealing with because you're seeing it from their perspective rather than seeing it straight on.
Interesting. And this one starts off very slow burn, but once it starts going, it does not let go of you for the rest of the mm-hmm. film.
What is it called again?
It's called Wreck.
Because I have seen Quarantine. I didn't even know that it was original.
Also known as Dot Wreck. It'll cost you a couple bucks to get it on YouTube, Amazon, or Google Play. And it is money well spent.
All right, number four, The Strangers.
Mm. Nicole Kidman?
No, Liv Tyler.
Oh.
Oh, you're thinking of The Others.
Yeah.
Which is also, yeah, no, I like that movie a lot. The Strangers, it is Liv Tyler and Scott Speedman. They go to their vacation home, and it took, I believe that was like 2008, 2009. And, you know, you start hearing the doorbell ring. Nobody's there. Oh, I think what was so scary about it, not only once you finally saw the people in the mask, but essentially what it was just random people going up to the door. And the scariest part of that was when they're at the window and Liv Tyler's talking to him and say, "Why us?" She goes, "Because you were home." And just the creepiest voice. That freaks me out because at some point they get into the house. It's a big runaround. But that could happen. And that makes such... a scary, or you know, good parts of a horror movie when you feel like that could actually happen to you.
I've seen it, and when they get to the very end of the movie and certain things are inevitable, mm-hmm. I think it actually crosses a line and becomes pornographic at that point. You know, it's...
I get what you're saying, yeah.
The tension is out of control. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is, horror movies, yeah, we want to be scared. Right? We don't necessarily want to see people really dying. There's a reason why we watch horror movies and not ISIS videos on Halloween. Mm-hmm. You know, because you can watch ISIS video, like, oh my God, like people are getting killed. That's really scary. Or you can go watch artfully constructed dramatic horror, which people like for the same reason they like comedy. It's cathartic. And that movie, when it got to the very end, I was like, oh, you went to a place that just really wigs me out. And nothing wigs me out. I mean, I've seen...
But that especially with...
I've watched,
you know,
Lars
the difference
von Trier
between,
movies, you know.
You know, old school horror, new school. It's yeah. all about the gore, and yeah. you have to... And the whole movie is built up to that suspense of the chase around the house because it's the build-up, they're coming in, are they going to come in, and, you know.
But that moment at the end is just unrelenting. And it was one of the things I saw that I was like, that was profoundly disturbing. Mm-hmm.
That's one that actually will keep you up at night when you hear something outside.
Yeah. Number four for me is Tenebrae. This is Dario Argento. Most people know Dario Argento in this country for Suspiria. And Suspiria is a masterpiece of a horror movie. But if you really want to appreciate Argento, and if you like horror... You really want to appreciate Argento, and you really want to appreciate the 70s Italian horror movies. Lately, there has been a whole rash of films that are just aping the style and aping the plot devices and the gore and the camera angles, all the rest of this. For my money, Dario Argento's Tenebrae is the best of the lot. It is a standard, straight-up giallo murder mystery. People are dying in horrible ways left and right. You're not coming in here for character development. You're not coming in here for a story that makes sense. You're coming in here to watch people die in very beautiful ways and very interesting ways. And the movie delivers that from beginning to end. It's also got John Saxon in it, who played Nancy's father in the first Nightmare on Elm Street. So there's a little bit of an extra hook. This one, you're going to have to get on Blu-ray or DVD. Nobody is streaming any of Argento's stuff. So if you've liked any of those super stylish horror movies that you've seen in the last couple of years, big murder set pieces, go check out some Argento and start with Tenebrae.
All right, so for number three, I got all my, you know, new school for my generation. So I'm going a little old school with my rest. Number three, I had the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, because I remember seeing that as a kid, freaking me out. And I think actually they did a really good job on the remake. A little bit different. Instead of having the kids in the original, they were going to like a family homestead. In the new one, they were going to a concert. Same concept starts. You really don't know what to expect, understanding the name of the title, but you have a hitchhiker get into the car and shoot themselves. I'm never going back to the house. But the thing about, I think it's really the set design and maybe their lack of in the original, when you are have that girl sitting at the table and it just has shots of the chair with, you know, the made of the bones, because this family was just...
They worked in the slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
And they just brought their work home with them.
It still has that connotation, though. And one of the only things that scares me, that really, really freaks me out at haunted houses, haunted hayrides or whatever it is the guy with the chainsaw.
Yeah.
And everybody, you know, Jason at one point had that. Everybody had it freaks you out.
It's the movie.
And
that,
this is all stemmed from this movie.
It's the movie that made the chainsaw a horror movie stereotype.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was my number three.
You know, the funny thing about Texas Chainsaw, I know a lot of people are just scared out of their wits by it.
Mm-hmm.
It's never frightened me. And I don't know what it is. Because a lot of movies that scare most people also scare me.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at...
Well, especially with my three, and I'll get into my number two and one. These were the three movies that I remember seeing as a kid. And just... you can watch it.
Yeah.
I think that started my whole thing where you put a pillow in front of your eyes. But it's not only the scary character, but it's what they're doing and chasing people around. Because... Freddy Krueger was one of those characters, same thing, Jason, but it didn't scare me as much. I don't know what it was about this one over those.
And this is the thing. It's like I saw it when I was in high school for the first time, because it was one of those rite of passage movies by the early 1980s. Came out in the 1970s, and everybody saw it and freaked out. And, you know, I could see we're seeing it in a movie theater. Particularly like a rundown grindhouse with like whoever happened to blow in off the street sitting next to you would scare the wits out of somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But sitting there at home watching it, I just look at it and I start deconstructing the shots and I'm like, oh, that's nice sound design. And
yeah, you look at film a little bit differently because you have, extended education in said field.
I never get the immersion from it.
Mm-hmm.
I understand why all of it works.
Well, so it's interesting.
I never
to get
the immersion
your
from
perspective
it.
As somebody that understands this. Whereas, yes, I took some courses in college on film, but I'm not as much as you.
Yeah.
I'm coming from the average person perspective.
It is a masterclass in creating tension and scaring people. Mm-hmm. It just, for whatever reason, doesn't work for me.
I think the whole concept of, driving in a car and actually being broken down in just not a, livable area.
Yeah.
Bad things can happen.
These slaughterhouse workers who are taking their stuff home. Now, on the other hand, a movie does scare the heck out of me. Number three for me is actually playing in a theater near you right now. We may have lost some listeners to this tonight. The Shining by Stanley Kubrick, based on the Stephen King novel. This is a movie that just screws with your head from the very beginning to the very end. There are a lot of things that Stanley Kubrick does that you don't really register when you watch the movie the first time. But by the time you get to seeing it 7 or 8 or 9 times, you're like, wait, that door shouldn't be there. Mm-hmm. Or wait, that chair wasn't in that shot the last time. All of this is deliberate. Stanley Kubrick was one of the most deliberate filmmakers that ever lived. And he fills every frame and every sequence with things that are just out of place and things that just don't belong. And it helps to transform this remote hotel into a sinister character.
I have to say, you will hear this again because you'll see it on my list.
Yeah.
But this is the sole reason why I will never stay in the Mount Washington Hotel.
Oh, the Mount Washington Hotel is brilliant.
Near Attitash. No, and
it's lovely up
that
there.
Scene with the little boy, you know, just roaming around, going through all of the hallways with the red carpet. And again, there's very particular colors that are used, shots, the way that they're filmed and the angles. And then you get the two shots of the twin girls standing there and saying, come play with us forever.
There is never any, at this point in his career, and in a film that was done in the kind of controlled environment that this one was made in, there is nothing accidental in any shot in that movie. Mm-hmm.
I wish more younger people could actually appreciate it and watch it, because this is one of the things, and it's funny, in work I associate our red sangria because it is rum-based, so I give people little ways to remember things. So I say, oh, you ever see The Shining? Red rum. People just, you know, and it's a lot of younger people, question mark, and I'm like, you've never seen The Shining. Red rum, murder, backwards. Just, you know. And unfortunately, I think it is lost with the younger, because it is. It's all about the gore and the guts and the new, you know, Saw 18. This is such a classic, and it is so remarkably made, but it is suspenseful, and it keeps building and building and building.
The thing about it is, it's a film that feels like a slow burn at the start, and then you're an hour into it and you realize it hasn't been a slow burn. It's been ripping your throat out from the very beginning.
And every single character, though, is, I mean, Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, it's a classic Jack Nicholson role.
But even, you know, the wife, the little boy, every character is perfection.
By the way, at the very end of that movie, Jack Nicholson and Stanley Kubrick throw in a little homage to Leatherface at the end of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. If you know what you're looking for, you will see it.
Hmm. Now I feel like I need to go see that and see if I can catch it.
Good movie.
All right, number two, The Exorcist.
Hmm. Good one. Good. Yes. That movie scared the crap out of me when I was in high school.
Yep.
Every time
Again,
you see that door.
Another movie that I saw when I was a kid and not really understanding. And it starts off really like nice and light. You have this little girl who's, you know, has this kind of squeaky voice and asking questions with the Ouija, the Ouija board, and the mother's there. And you go from, you know, each part of the film, it just gets worse and worse. And I think the best part about that was there were shots that the director did that you hadn't seen before. And the movement of the character just in the bed. Because essentially what we were doing, we had one room, this whole movie for the most part was filmed out of, and it was focused on a girl in a bed and her being taken over by this demon and how the situation worsened for her. But also, again, the movement, her walking down the stairs backwards, did you see any of that? Her going back and forth on the bed, slamming down, the head spinning around. These were shots that were new and so groundbreaking.
The thing that makes that movie, in my eyes, really, really effective is every time you go into that room, it gets worse. Every single time you go into that room, it gets worse. And you never go into that room without first getting that shot down the hallway to the door. And you get to a point where you see the shot and you just say, don't open the door. Don't go in there. Don't open the door. And it's one of the oldest lines that people scream in horror movies. Don't open the door. You know, my favorite is don't open the door. There's music in there, you know, because that means that the bad thing is coming. Mm-hmm. But it just gut punches you over and over and over again until you get to the point where you see the door and it's a Pavlovian response. You're like, I don't want to go in there. Stop the movie. Let me out of here. I can't take this anymore.
It's true.
It is one of the best uses of a framing device ever in a horror movie. And I'm hard-pressed to think of another horror movie that does it as effectively as The Exorcist does. Number two for me, good luck finding it. You know, if you do a search on YouTube, you can find certain cuts of this. I normally don't recommend it, but you can't get it on DVD. You can't get it on Blu-ray. Maybe you know somebody who owns it. Dawn of the Dead, the 1978 original. Not a scary movie, but a gore-drenched social satire. And really a landmark of horror cinema. Because up to this point, horror movies are about scaring the audience. They are about cheap thrills. They are low-quality productions. Nobody expects that a horror movie is going to say anything. George Romero comes along and makes a movie that is actually still today a very relevant social satire about consumerist culture that just happens to have a lot of zombies running around, chewing faces off of people, eating people's intestines, all the sort of stuff that we expect from zombie movies. This is also the movie that more or less defined what every zombie story that came after would be. Resident Evil, based on Dawn of the Dead. Walking Dead, based on Resident Evil and Dawn of the Dead. Any one of these directors will tell you, George Romero wrote the rule book.
Now, understanding that you brought up the original, what do you think it is compared to the remake?
Was it
a good job? Because I've never seen the original, have seen the remake.
The remake has its charms, but the remake is basically a straight-up action movie. There are elements in it that are very Romero-esque,
mm-hmm.
And actually most of the cast of Dawn of the Dead, the original, is in the film somewhere, with the exception of Galen Ross, who has a store named after her in the shopping mall. There are a lot of references to it. I think the opening sequence of Dawn of the Dead over the credits, the remake, where they're before they get into the mall, is brilliant and one of the more effective pieces in it. But Dawn of the Dead is such an accurate depiction of the world falling apart. And there is so much world building that Romero does. He doesn't have to tell you the backstories of any of these people or what any of these people
doesn't matter
represent,
mm-hmm.
because you just get it in seeing what they do. And it's a film that you can watch over and over again and keep discovering new things.
Well, I think that speaks volumes when a director can, you know, actively do that.
Yeah.
And not have to explain so much. You just get it because it is depicted so well.
It's actually on my top five of all time, in addition to being number two on my list of the top horror movies of all time.
You have a vast collection in that mind.
Yes, I do.
All right, my number one. You mentioned it as your number three, The Shining.
Great movie.
And again, for so many reasons that we, you know, just talked about. But those scenes, you know, when Jack Nicholson breaks through the door and is trying to come in.
Here's Johnny!
Yeah, you see the picture of murder again spelled backwards. The whole concept of getting lost in a corn maze, that was, you know, the ivy on the walls and running through, and you still have that fear. But so many of those shots, and we touched on them, but the shots of just seeing the hotel from the outside. And you talk about The Exorcist with going inside. You see the shot from the hotel on the outside being like, I don't want to go back in there. You know, or they're outside in the gardens. It's like, just don't go back in there. Bad things have happened. So many times they're outside and you get those quick shots and understanding what lies in there. It's so powerful.
One of the things that's really effective about that movie is how oblivious Wendy is to what is taking place around her.
Mm-hmm.
She really has no idea what's going on until everything starts to come apart.
Of course.
And it's, well, maybe he's drinking again. Maybe, you know, maybe he's unhappy. Maybe the kid's done something. Maybe the kid's sick. Everything except what's really happening here, which is hotel's turning your husband into a monster.
I think what that is just trying to suppress the fear. And fear is such a powerful thing for people. And, you know, acknowledging it, you don't want to. So you're like, oh, no, it must be something else. Why? But it's fear within yourself.
Yeah. For me, number one, I'm surprised this wasn't on your list. 1978, once again, John Carpenter's Halloween, which is
Mm-hmm.
There are two things I love about this movie. Number one, it wrote the rules for every slasher movie that came after it. Okay? Friday the 13th, after Halloween.
It's true. There's a line in Scream, and, you know, the film nerd said that.
Freddy Krueger.
Halloween wrote the...
After Halloween. Yeah. Candyman, after Halloween. Chucky, after Halloween. All of this stuff, after Halloween. Everyone has been using John Carpenter's playbook for nearly 40 years now. The other thing I love about Halloween is that none of this existed before John Carpenter. I watch movies. I know my history. I know influences. I can spot, I can spot homages, and I can spot sequences that have been taken from other films. John Carpenter created this thing out of whole cloth, and he basically sat down and said, "I'm going to figure out good ways of scaring people." And for my money, one of the scariest sequences ever in a movie is the one that they keep playing during these radio commercials for Halloween that I've been playing, mm-hmm. which is Jamie Lee Curtis trying to get into the house with two toddlers upstairs asleep who you know are no help whatsoever as Michael Myers is closing in on her with a knife. That is scary. And it's scary because you can imagine this really happening mm-hmm. in any suburb anywhere because the music works, because the cuts work, everything about it works. Halloween, if you want.
No, was Halloween the original movie that started that kind of built up music?
Yes, and John Carpenter wrote the score for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always.
Because I mean that is so notorious. Those sounds are, you know.
There was always sort of the creepy soundtrack in old horror movies. Mm-hmm. You know, creepy piano music or something like that.
But not the moments leading up to when the killer exposes himself.
Nothing like what John Carpenter did. Mm-hmm. John Carpenter started putting stingers on all of this stuff, and it's just mind blowing. Such a good movie.
Oh,
all
it's
these years later.
There in top 10.
By the way, if you want to see it, it's going to be on AMC as part of their Fear Fest. Unfortunately, you get commercials with it, but it will be on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. You can also find it Blu-ray, DVD. I recommend buying it because it's one of those movies that Halloween rolls around and you just want to throw it on, and it never, ever lets you down. 855-915-9636 is the phone number. It is The Big Picture. Derek, Gary, and Lisa Nichols with you for about another 15 minutes. On the Town, Mikey D coming your way at 9 o'clock with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. And when we come back, our favorite things from the past week and the strangest things from the past week right here on WMFO Medford.
Baby.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show is a must for all of you. If you don't go and see it, I will personally come around to your houses and drag you out by the scruff of the neck. I shall belt you around the mouth and mouth you around the belt. Do you understand what I'm saying? See the Rocky Horror Picture Show, rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent.
Halloween. Newsweek magazine calls it a superb exercise in the art of suspense, the most frightening flick in years. Halloween. The Chicago Sun-Times says it's so scary, I would compare it to Psycho. It's the kind of picture, says the Chicago Tribune, that forces you to sleep with the lights on. A masterpiece, says New York's New Times. Halloween, from Compass International, rated R.
Everybody, Jamie Lee Curtis here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. What should you do to stop a friend from driving if they've been drinking? Answer, whatever it takes. Think before you drink. Designate before you celebrate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
FM Medford. I got to give a shout out to listen, Mark, who called in with the perfect selection for a horror movie this year, one that probably should have been on one of our lists, Lisa. Killer Clowns from Outer Space. That's so timely right now.
Perfect.
And I'd throw Stephen King's It
Everybody's
on that list, too.
Everybody's getting freaked out by clowns.
Yeah. Yeah, the clown thing is...
You can't show it in that, what was that, Mississippi?
You can't dress as a clown.
You can't dress. But you can watch it, so you can get your face
in which,
that way.
Which county is it?
Somewhere in Mississippi, I believe you said.
Yeah, it was Kemper County, Mississippi. $150 fan. $150 fine.
Clowns, yeah, you're a fan.
Clowns banned until November 1st. That's what I was going for.
Well, thanks, Mark, for calling in.
Yeah.
Yes.
Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Great pick. Clown banned, not hot. Lisa is hot.
Well, what's hot this week, it's, of course, our favorite thing from the news. If that noise you just heard, that's me fainting on the ground, I will bring this in when it comes out in January. General Mills, you know, they make some awesome cereal. They're releasing two kinds. Ready? Girl Scout cookie cereal. So, of course, their two most popular flavors, Thin Mints and Caramel Crunch, they're going to taste exactly like the Girl Scout cookie. So you can look for them at any grocery store. I'm sure Target will always, because they always sell specialty ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, in January. So excited. You can buy that for my birthday this year.
These are the stories I hate, by the way. Is because now you've just teased us for something delicious that exists that none of us can have until January. It's like,
so
what?
Excited.
Why do you do that to us, General Mills? Like, you send out the press release when it's in the store.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, hi, we're General Mills. By the way, Girl Scout cookie breakfast cereal is in the store right now. And then everybody gets out from their desk and runs to the supermarket.
Yeah.
That's what you want, not 3 month lead. Yeah. Teasing me with it. If you haven't picked up Pokemon Go in a while, I've got some great reasons for you to do it. Today, Niantic kicked off a special event that is going to run on. Well, in home, there are more ghost-type Pokemon spawning, which means you will find Ghastlies, Haunters, and Gengars all over the place, mostly Ghastlies and Haunters. There are also a lot of Cubones and Meowths popping up everywhere.
You say Meow?
Meowth.
Meowth.
And I mean... everywhere. At places that normally don't have Pokemon have these Pokemon. So there are tons of Pokemon out there for you to catch. And they're a little bit unusual. You will also get double candy for anything that you do. If you catch a Pokemon, if you trade a Pokemon, if you hatch a Pokemon, it's double candy through Monday. And finally, if you have a buddy, and if you don't know what that is, you need to update the game. If you have a buddy, the distance you need to walk to get a candy for that buddy has decreased by 25%. So if it used to be 3 kilometers, it is now 0.75. If it used to be 6, it is now 1.5. This is a great weekend. It's probably going to be one of the last bearable weekends of the year to go outdoors. So go out there, catch some Pokemon, celebrate Halloween, have a good time. I like what they've done so far. This is kind of what the game needed. It's a good, solid event, and it is worth your while.
Still playing it. As we end the show every week, that's the thing that happened, the craziest thing from this week's news. One of my favorite cities, Portland. Police arrested a tree on Monday in Portland, Maine, for blocking traffic. Well, it was a man dressed as a tree. The tree, or man, who was arrested said he stood in the middle of the downtown intersection as a kind of performance art. Asher Woodsworth wanted to see how he could impact, quote, people's natural geography. If by that he meant getting a lot of people taking pictures and video of him, he succeeded. Police weren't impressed and was later charged with obstruction a public way. A Twitter user named TV Teddy posted a video of Woodworth's initial chat with police where he was warned to stay out of the street. He later ended up back into the intersection and they moved in and arrested him. So kids, a little early to dress up as a Christmas tree. Don't go into the streets of Portland. It's a great town. You know, love it. Don't dress like foliage.
He's lucky his personal geography wasn't altered by an automobile. Because I'm running that guy down.
Yeah.
You know?
I believe they're a little bit nicer in Portland than they are on the George Washington Bridge. As we understood, if you handcuff yourself and talk about the legal immigration, people are going to give you the finger.
Is this going to trigger a massive rash of tree sightings now?
Probably.
Mama June, there's trees in the woods. Wyoming. 22-year-old David Mangus of Casper was in the mood for some sex, so he did what thousands of Americans do and hit up Backpage.com. After finding a prostitute, he arranged to get oral and vaginal sex, not in exchange for money, but in exchange for food. That didn't help him when he showed up for his encounter and was arrested by police who were conducting a sting operation. The food, a McDonald's quarter pounder with cheese and medium French fries, were seized as evidence. Savvy prostitution customers know that a deal that good has to be a trap.
Yeah, ladies, have a little more pride in yourself. You deserve more than this.
Yeah, he's trading a quarter pounder with cheese and a medium fries for sex.
What's that, about a $4.50?
That's pretty much a giveaway that it's a sting operation, kids. Real prostitutes demand more.
Yeah.
More.
They want a soda, too, with it.
So next week, Lisa Nichols will not be with us.
I will not be
She'll
here.
Be enjoying wonderful Orlando, Florida.
Yeah, vacations. I do those once in a while.
We will have Mariel Cabral and Joel joining us as we talk about the ballot questions. And then the following week, I'm not going to be here.
This is all coming, yeah.
It'll be Lisa Nichols.
I don't know if I should be happy or crying.
It'll be Lisa Nichols, Mariel Cabral, and Joel talking about the election results. So that's where we're at, and then the week after that, we'll be back to normal.
Reunite.
And then the Thanksgiving show, and it's like, here we go.
Holidays.
Yeah, holidays are almost upon us. So we hope everybody has a very safe Halloween. Watch out for cars. Watch out for kids in the street. Check the candy before the kids eat it. Get home before it gets too dark out. Lisa Nichols.
It was lovely as always.
And I am Derek Gary. May it be spooky, and may it be safe, everybody.
I think we got it now. We gotta get a power increase, and we should get a better release. Everybody would hear us then at 91.5 FM.